MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
South Africa's immigration debate is becoming, I think, louder, angrier and more political. But interestingly, there is also a food security question that often gets ignored. Dr. Mark Wegerif, who's principal investigator at the Centre of Excellence in Food Security, is arguing that migrants are not simply a burden on the economy. Many are embedded in our food system, from farms and market to transport, retail and informal trade. And this raises, I think, a difficult question. If South Africa cracks down on migrant labour without understanding how food actually gets processed and distributed, could the country end up hurting the very people it claims to protect through higher prices, labour shortages and weaker food access? Mark, a very warm welcome to you. And I think this is an important issue, but one that is probably ignored. Do you think that we're sometimes sold a false story about migrants and the food system in this country?
Well, often there's no story or very little said about migrants in the food system. Yet, as you said in your introduction, they do play a very large role. You know, and we've been doing a lot of research, especially in micro enterprises and the street vendors, market traders, and so on. And there are a lot of people from other countries who are playing a key role in that, and a key role in often making food more affordable, because we found from our price tracking that, you know, for example, fresh produce is considerably more affordable from your street vendors buying through our municipal markets and so on, and directly from farmers, than it is in the supermarkets. So, and it's accessible because it's close to where people are living, especially in low-income areas in our townships and our informal settlements. And a lot of the people in that business, not all of them, there are South Africans there as well, but a lot are people coming from other countries. You know? Right now, I'm standing on a farm, and we're talking to some farmers yesterday, black farmers, and they are extremely worried about the threats to their labor, much of which is coming from other countries in the region. And so something, you know, that you didn't touch on in the introduction is their contribution also in primary production on farms, and whether it's people from Lesotho in the Free State, from Mozambique, from Zimbabwe. We have a lot of people who play a very key role in agricultural production, as well as then in the retailing and distribution.
Are you able to quantify that last fact? How much of our food supply then actually depends on migrant labor, and how big the risk is?
I wouldn't want to put quantities on it, because we don't have reliable numbers overall of the sort of the total number of migrants employed in the sector and so on. So, so I'd be reluctant to put quantities on it, but we can certainly see a very large role. I do also want to just clarify that when we're talking about migrants and people from other countries, many of the people we're talking about have been here for decades in some cases. So very much integrated into the society, and we see more integration, for example, in Limpopo and Mpumalanga, you get a lot of people of Mozambican descent who are closely related ethnically and so on with South Africans, and long histories of movement backwards and forwards across those borders. So it's not always people who have just arrived now, and we need to be clear on that. Many of these people are integrated in the society. And the other important thing about that is, from an economic perspective, they're not extracting profits, at any large scale out of communities. Often they're living in the same communities, which means they also spend in that communities. When they do employ people, they're employing people in those communities as well. So there's a wider economic contribution.
We are having this conversation ahead of the June 30 immigration deadline. And I've got to wonder, if migrant workers disappeared tomorrow, what would happen first, conceivably? Would it be labor shortage, higher food prices, or empty shelves?
Well, first, definitely, partly maybe because I'm in the middle of visiting different farms, the labor shortage is a serious concern. So, to farmers I spoke to yesterday and a couple of days before in another area, we're definitely saying one of the, saying what are the sort of challenges they're facing as black farmers. And, they're facing electricity cost and access challenges. And then the second thing many of them are raising is labor in the current situation, where they're worried. And because of the mobilization, it's also even threatening to people who come from other countries who might be here even on a legal basis, but because if you have a large number of people mobilizing and looking for foreigners and illegally demanding to see identity documents, that becomes a threat to everyone, especially if they have an accent someone thinks is different, or unfortunately in some cases they have a darker complexion. So farmers are saying they're very concerned about the labor loss, and some of this is skilled labor. people who've been many years on the farms also know how to run the irrigation systems, the planting systems, and so on. And then definitely, I mean, if our street traders are off the streets tomorrow, people are going to be paying 50% more on average for things like fresh produce, as well as probably having to travel further. So that's a serious impact. It's not going to be empty shelves. Our supermarkets are going to have food on the shelves, I think. I don't want to be over dramatic about it, but if a large number of street vendors, and in many cases a large number of them are originally from other countries or descended from people from other countries, if they're off the streets tomorrow, people will be paying 50% more for a lot of things. And if spaza shops close down, then that place where 100 meters from your house you can buy maize at a lower cost than it is in the supermarkets, and then if that's gone, you're going to have to travel further, carry your maize further, pay more for it. That is an immediate impact in the, a crisis situation already where we have over 60% of the population food insecure. So that is a very serious concern.
There is cheaper prices, not higher prices. There is, as you've suggested, high dependency here within the value chain. As uncomfortable a question as this sounds, do you think farmers and food businesses rely on migrants because they're skilled or simply because they're more vulnerable?
I think it's a combination. I think there's exploitation of migrant workers because they're in a vulnerable position, and that we should deal with. I mean, that's a labor issue, and we should not have extreme exploitation of anyone, South African or from elsewhere. So that should be addressed with better inspection and enforcement of labor laws and so on. But there's also skills, people who've been doing this for a long time, and people also coming from other countries where they've been farming. And we've got to understand South Africa is now a largely urbanized society, thanks in part to our history of forced removals and so on. You know, many black South Africans were removed from the land, so haven't grown up in families of farmers and so on. When you talk to many people working on farms and farmers, then they come out of those families. And then I think we also have to take a step back and look at what happens with migration around the world. It is very common in many countries around the world that people from other countries migrants take up particular roles in the economy. So you can look in America, the dependence on Mexican labor, for example. Zimbabwe has a long history of dependence in their agricultural system on Malawian labor, just as in northern parts of South Africa, we've also had many Zimbabweans. So this is not a strange thing for a range of reasons, including the limited opportunities for migrants or particular skills and experience that migrants bring, that migrants would take up particular roles in parts of the economy. This is nothing strange. It's nothing unique to South Africa. And I think, you can go to another extreme, talk about Silicon Valley and its dependence on migrants from India. So these are quite normal things in an economy. And in many ways, I would say we need to embrace them, but then manage it in a good way that it does contribute effectively to the economy, that there is skills transfer. I mean, I always want to be saying, like instead of complaining about a spaza shop owner who happens to be from Somalia out-competing others, learn from them. Learn what they're doing right. It's quite amazing that someone can travel overland from Somalia, arrive here with nothing, set up a business, and out-compete a supermarket group. There's a lot we can learn from that to, diversify our economy as well.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Mark Vechlev, who is Principal Investigator, Center of Excellence in Food Security.